on with our heart and our life. We'll continue to give you the glory, the praise, and honor, for it all belongs to you, and all of God's people say.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Mr. Hodge to come, Deacon Hodge, to lead the next song, and if we can get some of our men to move the pulpit over out of the way so we can get ready for our baptisms. And I will go back.
Your songs, I feel certain that they're
perfect. Trisha, if you can read the hymn story a while they're doing that, that would be great.
We have
a hymn story for the next song that we're going to sing. Goes with Anywhere with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at this one ready.
Right here.
Anywhere with Jesus. The theme for this song came to Dr. D.B. Towner as he was listening to a message given by D.L. Moody. It was in Binghamton, New York, and the year was 1866. It was one of the first meetings in which Dr. Towner was associated with Mr. Moody. It is also one of the first songs that he wrote. Mr. Moody's sermon was filled with a challenge that with Christ as the captain of one's life, you can go anywhere without fear, for God would see you through. He drew his illustrations from the Bible and introduced Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, the Apostle Paul, and others. Moody made them come to life. Dr. Towner thought there ought to be a song written with that theme. Now, usually a writer of that time would first secure the words before attempting a melody, but he decided he would write the melody first and try to put it into the special feeling he felt was needed for such a song. After he had completed the music, he sent it on to Cleveland, Ohio, and there lived a young lady by the name of Jessie Brown, who had a God-given gift for writing sacred poems. With the song, Mr. Towner included a note telling Miss Brown that he wanted the song to say, Anywhere with Jesus. As Miss Brown played the music, she was able to catch the spirit in which Mr. Towner had written it, and in a very short time had written a set of words making Anywhere with Jesus a complete song. Soon the Sunday schools and Christian Endeavor Society had made it their most popular song. And in 1896, Jessie Brown became the wife of Pastor John Pounds. It is because of this that the name Jessie Brown Pounds is now usually used on her songs.
All right, let us turn to the hymn books, the hymn number 584, and sing that song. Let's stand together while we sing this song, 584.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere with him, yeah, the joy don't fail. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, where I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I need not know him. Temptation gather on my pathway still. He himself was tempted that he not help me. Anywhere with Jesus I may speak to be. Anywhere, where I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Jesus I hope shall praise. Anywhere, anywhere, where I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can see. Let's sing the last verse. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkness of the grave makes me, anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, where I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Amen. Good singing. You may be seated.
Amen. It's a blessing to come down to the baptistry near the beginning of the service. And let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and starting in verse 11. Matthew 3, if you can turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to read this responsively. Matthew 3, 11 through 17 for our scripture reading this morning. Matthew 3, 11 through 17. We'll read it responsively. And I'll have Wellington lead that reading. So when you have found it, please stand with us. Matthew 3, 11 through 17. For our scripture responsive reading this morning.
11 to the end.
Yes.
It's only two verses, isn't it?
11 through 17.
Oh,
Matthew
7.
3, 11 through 17.
Okay. I have a mic, I'm not wondering. Let us begin Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?
And Jesus answering, saying unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. Then he suffered him.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Together, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You may be seated at this time. May God bless his words.
Amen. What a wonderful passage to read, that here Jesus is the model for us in how we are to live our Christian lives. All, going all the way back to the great, as soon as we get saved. Jesus showed us that now he said to follow in his steps. That's what the gospel writers told us, to follow in his steps. And so if we follow in all of Jesus' steps, the first thing we'll do is we'll get baptized. Right after we get saved as a Christian, we need to get baptized. Jesus didn't have to be baptized because he is righteousness. He is our righteousness. But here he told John, suffer it to be so now. He said, John, allow this to happen, because it becometh, for thus it becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. That word becometh means it becometh us, it's proper, it's fitting for a Christian to follow Christ. It's fitting for Jesus to first lead us into the water of the baptism. Not that he had anything to profess, no, but that we should follow him in all of his steps that he did when he was here on earth. And sure enough, he went under the water there in the Jordan River. He came back up out of the water, and that showed what he was going to do in just 3 short years. He was going to go to that cross. He was going to die. They would bury him in the tomb. Then he would rise from the grave. So Jesus is our example. So don't be afraid of the next step. Whatever the next step is for you in your life right now. Maybe you say, well, I've already been saved. I've been baptized. I'm a church member. Well, don't be afraid of the next step. Whatever it is that God has in store for you, do it. And you will just have the joy of Jesus in your life. That Jesus has showed us there's no fear as we follow him. Because we know we're obeying him. Because to not obey him, that's fear. But God, Jesus said, fear not him who hath power to cast, to kill the body, but fear him who hath power to kill both body and soul in hell. Cast both body and soul in hell. And so we fear God alone, and then everything else will fall into place. So here, when he descended, when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God in a dove descended and lit upon his shoulder. And then God the Father spoke from out of heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Anytime we take that next step of obedience, whether it be salvation or baptism or church membership or anything else that we do for God, we will have that approval, a voice of approval from heaven.
Amen.
Of God being pleased with his children. So I'm going to ask Sister Dominique to come on down into the water here. She then now takes this next step of obedience for the Lord, of baptism. And it's been a blessing to get to know Dominique over this past year. And she was just telling us on, a couple weeks ago Sunday. Yeah, that it's been, what, 1 year?
Yeah.
1 year. Okay, so why don't you tell us how and when you were saved by the Lord Jesus.
My nieces and nephews attended VBS last year, and I was in the parking lot actually picking them up, and Mr. Hodge walked past my car and invited me to come out, and I was just like, no, I'm fine. And then is when I trusted Christ.
Amen. So he shared with you some Bible verses.
Yeah.
We're all sinners, and you admitted you were a sinner, God, and I asked Jesus to save you for your sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was good. Just a little over.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for your step, your obedience to the Word of God and the gospel message to get saved. Praise the Lord for that. Dominique March, upon your profession of faith in Christ and his command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. And anyone have a testimony this morning? We want to see what blessings, what you're thankful to God for this morning. Anyone? Evan?
I'm thankful that Dominic's getting baptized.
Amen. Wonderful. Who else? Blessing to share this morning. While our next baptismal candidate is coming in. Anyone else? I'm sure God is doing something in your life. What are you thankful for? Who'll be next? Come on down, Chris. All right, Paul. Amen. His baby sister has safe delivery. Praise the Lord for that. And my wife appreciates all the prayers. That she thanks all of you for the meals and what a blessing they've been. So thankful to have a church family that cares. And praying for her as she recovers. All right, good to have Chris, Brother Chris with us. Chris has been coming to our church since last fall, and ever since Dominique got saved, and then the nieces and nephews got saved, they started inviting him to church. He came out last fall, so why don't you tell us about when you came out last fall, that Sunday night you came, what happened there? How and when were you saved?
I don't remember the day.
November or October? October, okay. And you came that Sunday night, and what did you pray the Lord to do for you?
I prayed the Lord to pray to guide me as my father.
And did he save you from all your sins? Amen. So where are you going now, according to the Bible, when you die? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Hodge that led you to the Lord, right? Amen. Chris McKenzie, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and his command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'll turn it back over to the Deacon Hodge.
Let's turn back to the hymn books, to page number 100. Page 100 in our blue hymn books. And I would ask a man to come back again to help me put us back in place. Let us stand together if you're able to as we sing this hymn 100. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my friend from day to day, without him I can't go. When I am sad, he may I go.
All the world to me, I want no better.
friend. I trust in God. I trust in when life fleeting day shall end.
You live a life without a friend. You live a life that has no end.
Eternal life, eternal joy. He is my friend. Amen. You may be seated. And I hope he is your best friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is our friend, and we can go anywhere with him. This time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. We just want to direct your attention to our bulletin so we can let you know what things are going on in the church and things. And it's good to have each one of you here with us this morning. It's a blessing to be together in God's house, worshiping him. It says on the front of the bulletin, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." John, that's in the Gospel of John 15, verse 3. And just by way of announcements, we want to mention that continue to pray for those in our prayer, in our praise and prayer section. Pray for Hazel. She's in New York. Her sister just passed away, so be in prayer for Hazel. Be in prayer for the others here. A friend of Rich Tomasco, Robert, one of his workers, got bit by a dog there in Philly and has to get stitches. So pray for Robert at this time. Then praise the Lord for the good baptisms today. We rejoice with Dominique and Chris in those that just happened. And tonight we'll be having a little celebration of the baptism. So come on back tonight at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8. 8:05, 8:10, and we'll have a message on how to detect God's leading in our lives. How to detect God's leading in our lives from Nehemiah chapter 9 as we study this, and some very specific points. As God led Israel, God will also lead us, and how to identify those things. So we're looking at some specific points of how God leads us in our life. Come on at back tonight, then bring a food or snack item to share tonight for that food fellowship as we celebrate the baptisms. Then next Sunday, we want to invite everyone out for a Rejoicing Sunday as we have some of our members share why they're glad that they are members of Northfield Baptist. So that will be next Sunday. Then there are many reasons to be glad, many reasons to join your local New Testament church. Number one, you follow the pattern set forth in the New Testament. Number two, you have a greater opportunity to use your spiritual gifts and your talents and abilities for God so that then you can make money with your spiritual gift, talents, and abilities. Use it first for God, and then you'll have the full energy the rest of the week to use your gift to serve God or to make money for your family. But first, give your gift to God, and He will then give you the energy necessary, because God is the one who either enables us or we get tired if we don't have His strength. And then number three, you become a more committed part of a spiritual family. Number four, you ensure a balanced Christian life, having counselors around you, having encouragers around you. God's put exhorters in the church to encourage us. Number five, you avail yourself of the wisdom of a multitude of counselors that you can have pray with you over important decisions in your life. Number six, you experience the joy of serving others. Number seven, God empowers you as a new obedient member to get victory in your life, and perhaps areas that you did not get victory before, but now that you're in taking that next step of obedience, of membership, God will then give victory. Then right below that, we're going to have a Quad State Sunday School Conference. That's going to be in Brookdale, New Jersey. It's about 2 hours away from four different states. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and I believe Delaware are all coming. Independent Baptist churches from all four states are coming to meet up there. And they provide the meals. All we have to do is get there. And so let us be encouraged in the Sunday school ministry of this church. We invite all Sunday school teachers to come, all students, Sunday school students to come, everyone who's interested in putting this church forward for God. Come on out at that special Saturday conference, September 8th We'll leave about 10 a.m. and we'll get back around 8 p.m. that night. And it'll be a great time of encouragement. Then our teens are going away end of September, September 28th, 29th, to overnight teen jamboree in Community Baptist Church in Quakertown area. And our sister church over there finally got a new building, or not a new building, but a middle school building, and that they are inviting us now. They have their own facility, and we are going to stay overnight that night. And in the meantime, Matthias was getting the teens and sixth graders all through 12th graders ready for the Bible quiz competition on Micah, and we'll continue that preparation for the end of the month in September. Then our Labor Day church picnic is Monday, September 3rd. And then if you have any old video cameras or old computers that are just lying around the house collecting dust, we'll put them into God's service and donate them to the church. And we can even give you a form that, you know, if you itemize your taxes, we can give you a form for that donation. And that way we can use them for God's glory here as we record the services to go around the world on the internet. That souls can be saved and Christians can be edified all around the world. And we'll see what God does with this video recording ministry through Pastor Logan and all the different assistants that help him with that. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Any other announcements this time? Okay, at this time we'll ask for ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. And I know we have a wedding coming up. Brother Drew, when's the date?
2 weeks from yesterday, 25th.
25th of August.
Wow. So we're getting ready to drive out there on Thursday. So okay. Just pray for safety and travel and all that.
Yeah, how many hours is it driving?
It's going to be about 30.
30 hours, okay.
Yeah, 30, 33.
Okay.
So we have some stops playing along the way. So.
Okay. All right, let's pray for Brother Drew as he goes out there with his fiance, and as they prepare for the wedding in less than 2 weeks now. Wow, getting nervous yet?
No.
Okay, excited, exactly. All right, let us bow together in prayer as we thank the Lord for this opportunity to give to God. Let us pray.
Our Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for the open doors of this church, and we thank you for the fact that as this ministry has been expanding, that you have been meeting needs here. Although recently, it would almost seem like we need a special touch from you in regard to the health of our offerings. We just pray, Lord, that you would allow us to be able to continue making the inroads into the community that you seem to be blessing so richly. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to encourage us and that you would bless us in your economy, that we might be able to return to you that portion which you have directed of us, that you might suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver, as we seek your face in the manner of our giving. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Let us turn back to the Majesty Hymn Book, the red hymn book right there in front of you, before we have our special music this morning. Red hymn book number 80, The Heavens Declare the Glory of God. Let's all stand together as we sing this song before our special music this morning. Number 80, let's all stand.
Listen to the waves of the ocean, crashing with the rhythms of praise. Listen to their song of devotion, dancing with the sun's golden rays. Listen to the music of nature, floating from the birds in the sky, singing the song of their Maker, lifting His praises on high. The heavens declare the glory of God, the creation is singing His majesty, the mountains prepare a tribute of love, creation is filled with His honor, glory and praise. Second verse. Listen to the song of the sunrise. Listen to the voice of the light. Watch as the moon gives the signal, starting the music of night. Listen to the song of creation. Listen to the language of praise, filling the earth and the heavens, praising the ancient of days. The heavens declare the glory of God, all nature is singing His majesty, the mountains declare the tribute of love, creation is filled with His honor, glory and praise, glory and praise, creation is filled with His honor.
How many never sang that song? All right, quite a few. You may be seated. Wonderful. If you watch the nature channels on TV or if you see them on the computer, you can see the animals and God's creation obeys Him and does what it's supposed to do. It's us humans that don't do what God designed us to do at times. So we see that God's creation is so beautiful, so majestic. The sun comes up and it goes down. The moon goes around. And everything goes in its proper order as God created it to be. This time we'll have our ladies come up for the special music. Is that what the plan was? Okay. For our special music this morning. Thank you. right, we're going to keep the young people in this morning. I believe it's going to be a very applicable message to adults as well as to the young people. So we're going to keep the kids and teens in. Teens don't leave anyway, but the kids in for this message. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. So we look on at the home. Faithfulness in the home or failure in the home. And how to have faithfulness. How to have victory in the home. That's what we're looking at this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 in our Bibles. And just a note to teens, put your phone away. Mr. Hodge has a basket he has there. So if you can put your phone in the basket, you don't worry, you'll get it right at the end of service. It's there to be a help to you so that there's no temptation for distraction. That's for all 7th through 12th graders. So, or if your parent is here, give it to your parents. Okay, that way it is out of the way. Romans chapter 12 this morning, as we look at God's wonderful reasons why we are here on this earth. God has so many reasons why you are here on this earth. If we could count all the ways that each of us individually, why we are here, why God put you here, the list would just be so long, so immense. All the people that we would touch, all the people that God would have us to encourage, all the people that we can lift along life's road, all the people that we can win to Christ, or at least share with them the gospel, even if they don't get saved, that maybe somewhere down the line someone else will water that seed that we planted. That there's hundreds and hundreds of reasons why you and I are here on this earth today. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word this morning. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would quiet our hearts even now, that you would help cast aside any busyness of the week or distractions that would come into our minds and keep us from your word this morning and from the preaching of it. I pray that you'd help us to take this message in, Lord, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would embrace your will and what you are doing in our lives, Lord, in a mighty way, that you would help us to be faithful in our homes, that we can raise up the next generation to godliness and to take over where we have left off. But not only that, but that they would take up the mantle of obedience in their own lives so that we can go forward in victory together, Lord, as brothers and sisters in arms, fighting in God's army against the devil and his demons. Lord, I pray you just bless us today. Give us a warm bread from the oven of your word this morning, in Jesus' name. And fill me with thy spirit. Fill each one of us with your spirit that we may be spirit-filled listeners and doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12, verse 1 says, let's read it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we see God's will for your life is a wonderful path that He wants to take you through throughout the whole rest of your life, however long that's going to last. We have Brother Drew getting married here in less than 2 weeks. And God's got a wonderful path for him and his fiance that He wants to take them on. He wants to make them into their own separate, distinct family. You know, He's calling out Brother Drew away from his parents, to be separated unto his wife and to cleave unto his wife. And He's calling her out of her away from her parents to become a separate, distinct, unique family. And that's a wonderful, beautiful picture of God's love for us. That He wants us to be that separate, distinct person, child of God, from the world. That here he has a great plan for our lives. It's so wonderful, it's so good, it's so rich, it's so sweet that he has that plan for our lives. But the devil has another plan for our lives, and it's anything but God's plan. The devil's will for our life is to deviate at any time along the way from God's path. He doesn't care if it's sooner or later. He doesn't care if he wants it sooner rather than later. But he just wants us to deviate from the will of God for our lives so that we will crash and burn and be discouraged. And literally, as the Apostle Paul said, that we might be shipwrecked and a castaway. Someone that, they're a child of God. Can't really tell anymore, Well, they're a has-been, God doesn't want us to be a has-been. He wants us to be a faithful servant for our whole life. Our whole life. He wants us to be blessed and have a rich life and a successful life. And it doesn't matter what phase of life you're in. You can have a rich, blessed rest of your life. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm older. It doesn't matter if you're older. Well, I'm younger. I don't even know what God. Well, that's the time. Now is the time to get in on it before the devil gets to you. Okay? Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
See, the devil is trying to conform us into his image. Just like God says, no, we need to be conformed into the image of his Son. See, the devil is trying to say, hey, fit the mold of all of your unsaved friends at school. Hey, fit the mold of all your unsaved teachers at school. Fit the mold of all your unsaved neighbors. And fit the mold of your unsaved co-workers. Fit the mold of your unsaved boss. Just do what they do. See, the devil is trying to use many people to mold us into his image. What's the devil's image? Anything but God. Anything but God's will for our life. Anything but Jesus. He hates Jesus he hates him so much. Jesus hates the devil with all of his heart. Jesus hates the devil. He says, abhor evil and cleave unto that which is good. See, it's not just a little bit of a fraternity going on there. The world makes it like the devil and God have a little confraternity going. The devil, he's bad, but, they kind of work together. No, they don't at all. God has no part with the devil, and the devil has no part with God. What agreement at the temple of God with idols, Paul said. And what is in common with light and darkness? There is no commonality there at all. And so we're not just in a little battle, a little skirmish, but at times we kind of join the same side. No. We either are serving God or we're serving the devil. And we've got to choose which one we're going to do. You say, why does it really matter? Well, let me tell you why it matters. Number one, your eternal future rewards are at stake. Okay? The judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be rewarded based on either our faithfulness to God or our lack of faithfulness. And you don't want to be the one up there with all the other Christians present getting, there's nothing for you. You don't want Jesus saying, there's nothing here. You want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because it will all make perfect sense up in heaven. And you don't want to be the one saying, there's no rewards for you. And secondly, you don't want to live for yourself because the devil is trying to pull down as many people to hell as possible. And it's up to you and I to have compassion on people. If you and I just live for ourselves and we don't care about our neighbor, we don't care about our coworkers, we don't care about the customers we meet, guess what? They're going to die in their sins and go to hell. You and I are we stand between heaven and hell for them. You and I stand in the place of God for them to help win them to Jesus Christ. And so there's so many reasons, but we're going to look at some of these reasons this morning. Romans 12, verse 2, so we see we should not be conformed to the world. If the world is saying, talk back to your mom, talk back to your dad, talk back to your aunt, talk back to your grandmom, should you do it?
No.
If your friends are saying it?
No.
No. What should you do instead?
Respect them.
Good.
Respect your parents.
Let's go to Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. And keep your bookmark in Romans 12.
Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Who would like to read that for verse for us? Someone nice and loud. Yes, Andy?
Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord.
Okay, thank you. What does it mean, the hoary head? Hoary head, yes, Andy.
White hair,
great.
Age.
Okay, one day we're all going to be there. The day when our hair starts turning gray. You know, many of us are in different facets of that right now. Okay, but one day in your 30s, or in your early 40s, but most likely in your 30s, your hair will start turning from the color it is now, brown, blonde, dark brown to a white or gray color. It's a part of life that every one of us are going to go through. Why? Because our body is changing. Our body is getting older. Our body is starting to show its changes and its age. Okay? And so here, God says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. In other words, if someone is gray-headed, what should you do when they come into your presence? Just act like nothing. No, they're not even there, right? That's how kids are today. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect their grandparents. And they don't even stand up when they come to the table, you know, or they come. You know what? We need to rise up before the hoary head. That means to literally stand up out of respect for them because they are older and wiser than us. And they are the one that is now helping us in our life, teaching us, caring for us, molding us. We are to rise up before them and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Literally, we are to honor those that are older than us and fear them and fear God in doing it. We are to honor them. We are to respect them. We are to obey what they tell us to do. Why? Because they've been around the block quite a few times. They know what's going on in life. They know how to stay away from the devil. And they know how to go toward God. So they're trying to help you do what's right. But here, there's another reason to rise up before the hoary head and honor the face. Why? Because I am the Lord. The very nature of God is represented in the way we age. The very nature of God is represented in the way we age. It's not a light process that God just created into our DNA and then just takes very lightly. No. As we age, God made that for a reason. We're going to live to be around 70 years old. Possibly longer if the Lord blesses you with that. Possibly shorter. And so we see that as we age, God's telling us, hey, respect these people because I am the Lord. I made this process this way. And if you don't respect them, if you don't respect the hoary head, if you don't honor the face of the old man or the old woman, guess what? God says, I'm literally going to come after you. My character and my face will be against you. We don't want to be on that side of God, do we? God says in Hebrews 12, it says the Lord is a consuming fire. That we don't want to be on the fire side of God. But as we read in the baptism reading this morning, that John the Baptist said, there cometh one after me, whose latchet of his shoe I am not worthy to unloose, whose fan is in his hands, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and his garner with fire. And he will cast the chaff into unquenchable fire. Who is it that came after John the Baptist who literally is going to purge his floor with fire? And he's going to sweep out all the unseeable and unknowable deeds that we think are all covered up. All of a sudden they're going to come back into the light. Who is that person? Jesus.
Jesus is going to do that, and Jesus is, and so we want to be on the right side of Jesus, not on the wrong side of Jesus. Okay, so coming back to Romans chapter 12, we need to obey our authorities. We need to obey and honor those who are older than us. We need to obey our parents, our guardians, our grandmom, our grandpa, our aunt, our uncle. We need to obey them. Why? Because that's what God told us to do. Number one. Number two, God's given them wisdom that we don't have yet, that you don't have yet, and He wants you to listen to them. Okay, Romans chapter 12. don't listen to how your friends or how your classmates talk to their guardians or their parents. No, don't take your marching orders from them. Take your marching orders from the Word of God, from the Bible, and God will bless you richly in your obedience to Him. Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." How would you feel if every day you were trying to accomplish your tasks of daily life, work at your job, go to school, do whatever the things that we have to do, live your retirement life, getting things done, and every day certain fingers would all of a sudden jump out and go the other way, you know, lead your hand the other way. Or, you know, you'd be walking one way and then your foot would all of a sudden turn and start going the other direction. You're like, "No, I'm trying to get over there." And your foot's going the other direction. How would you feel about those rebellious fingers and toes? Anyone? Zaria? What's that? Bad. Okay, you'd feel bad about that. You'd say, "What is going on with my body?" And believe it or not, some people have a disease that will give them that, where they cannot fully control the muscles or their body parts correctly. And so they don't have complete control. So God wants us, if you have control of your body, to use it for Him. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We're all on the same team here. We are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. So what happens if our fingers start gouging our eye? Or your leg just starts kicking your other leg? And what would you say to your body at that point? Evan?
Stop doing it.
Stop! Stop! You're giving me a bruise. Ah! You're trying to get my... Ah! You know, you'd immediately stop. But you know what? That happens at times in churches. You know why? Because we are all members one of another. We are one body in Christ. And we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. But sometimes, certain members in the body start fighting against the others. And when that happens, that's called a schism. That's called a break in the body. That's where something's not working right. A body that is working like that is not well at all. And you need to take it to the hospital right away. Well, that's what God tells us. This is the spiritual hospital, the local church. The preaching of the Word is the local hospital where we need to come to get our spiritual needs met, and where we will find that in the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching in Sunday school and on the preaching on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and then the fellowship and the encouragement and the counseling that we give one to another in the between services. That this is where we find the spiritual hospital that we need to get our body working correctly. Verse 6. We have all been given gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That word prophecy means foretelling or preaching. Okay, some people have the natural gift, they're given this gift of speaking well to the point where they can discern right and wrong, and they can just tell people, "Hey, listen, you need to knock that off because God's going to be after you if you keep doing that. You need to get away from that person and you need to do the right thing." And that person with the gift of prophecy is very... It comes easily to talk to people about that. To come up to them and to confront them and to help them and to speak the Word and to discern right and wrong. And they're good at speaking. Someone with that gift in the Bible was Peter. Peter had the gift of prophecy. He would be able to, not the foretelling, but the forthtelling. He had both, because the canon of Scripture was not closed yet. But for those of us who have that gift today, we can only foretell. Okay, so Peter would speak first, and he would say, "Hey, guys, let's do this. Hey, disciples, let's follow Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom shall we go?" Jesus said, Will ye also go away? After, in John 6, verse 66, the whole multitude left and went away from Jesus because his words were too hard for them. And he said to his 12 disciples, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. We are going to follow you, Lord. We're going to stay faithful to you till death." And sure enough, Peter lived up to that. Well, Peter led the disciples in rallying them with the gift of prophecy to go forward and to do the right thing. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter opened his mouth and preached those wonderful words of salvation, and 3,000 got saved. So the gift of prophecy is a great gift used in the right way. A weakness of the gift of prophecy is that the person can speak without depending upon God, and instead do damage with their words. "Oh, you're so God." And be accusatory, or being, or going out of turn and saying things they shouldn't without having all the facts, and instead of being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, they're quick to wrath, slow to hear, and they get themselves in trouble. Okay, so there's weaknesses to every one of these gifts, but you and I have one of these gifts. You say, "Well, what about 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4? 1 Corinthians 12 deals with the how those gifts manifest themselves. You'll see the manifestation of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see the word of wisdom. Some have the word of knowledge. Some have faith. Okay? What does that mean? It means that how these different motivational gifts look is going to be very varied. Okay? Someone with the gift of giving can have the word of wisdom at the right time, say in a business meeting, and say, "Hey, listen, we shouldn't use our funds in this way. Instead, we should use our funds in this way. Or we shouldn't do this." Someone with the word of knowledge, let's say they're the gift of mercy. "You know, hey, we're not loving so-and-so enough because they don't feel like we love us anymore. Let us love them more. Let's communicate them better. Let's bring them a meal." The gift of mercy is trying to help the body to show love to a certain person. Okay? So that's how the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, that's how that all looks. Those in 1 Corinthians 12, that's the manifestations of the gifts and how they look in everyday life and practice. But the actual gifts themselves have been boiled down from 12. There was 12 in the church, in the early church age, because they had tongues, miracles, healings, signs, and interpretation of tongues. They had those five gifts, the sign gifts that were for the Jews, to show the Jews, "Hey, this is a move of God." And they passed off the scene after that first century. Okay, so those five sign gifts passed off, so it went from 12 down to 7. Okay, and so that's what we're left with, is these 7 here in Romans 12. And so we see in verse 7, "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." Some of you have the gift of ministry, which is literally means the word diakonos, or to serve. It's not a position or a title. It's a place of, it's a service gift. And literally, someone with the gift of ministry, they are good at many, many, many tasks. They're talented with their hands and their brain. Their brain and their hands work really well together. They can be taught something one time and boom, they have it for the rest of their life. Why? Because they're quick to learn with how to do things with their hands. That's someone with a gift of ministry. They you'll see a lot of the workers with the gift of ministry in jobs that such as construction, building, secretarial, other things where they have to use nursing, etc., etc. Why? They have to use their hands and their brains a lot to function together, and they're really gifted at learning tasks. So this gift of ministry is a very important gift in the church because it helps keep the wheel going round and round in the body, helps the body to function. And some people who had the gift of a service was Martha and Mary. Martha had the gift of service. She loved to wait on people. In fact, she was doing it so much that she did it at the wrong times. She, instead of listening to Jesus and stopping her the dishes and the meal and all that, the service areas, she kept doing it after she should stop and wait on and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. So that's a temptation for the gift of service, is they want to keep on serving and doing things and making a lot of money, and to the point where, wait, got to balance that. If you're good with your hands and if you're good at using your hands to make money, make sure you balance it out with sitting at the feet of Jesus too. You know, Martha had to learn that the hard way. Mary, she had that gift, but she stopped. And she sat at the feet of Jesus. Then she got back up and kept being busy. Okay, so we need to learn this principle. If you have this gift or not, not to serve so much or to use your talent so much to make money for yourself that you put Jesus to the side. Okay, that's a temptation for any of us. That to overwork, become a workaholic. And to start working on Sundays, or to start doing everything so much that by Sunday you just crash and you're just like, oh, I crash and burn, and then barely can get out into church on Sunday morning, and Sunday night's an afterthought, and Wednesday night, and well, keep doing crashing and burning like that, and Jesus will start removing His hand of blessing from you. And instead of using your hands to make money and being so talented and gifted as you were, you'll start to see things falling apart. And say, you may still be good at what you're doing, but the things around you will fall apart. The people around you, the personnel around you all of a sudden will fall apart. The business will fall apart. The what you're doing will not go correctly. Why? Because Jesus wants our heart. And so He's going to make things fall apart around us if our heart is not with Him. So this is so important. Don't be like Martha, serving to the point where you skip church or skip your Bible reading, skip praying, skip walking with God. Now Martha found out the hard way. Mary had it balanced. And so we need to do both. The ladies constantly were ministering to Jesus. That's why we know both Martha and Mary had this gift of service. They were always ministering to Jesus. They were following Him. Anything He needed, all He had to do was speak up. Boom. They had it done. That's the gift of service. And they were good at it. And many men and women, Christians, have this gift. Then the gift of teaching. God made you with a special gift. And perhaps you say, I love researching. I love reading books or articles or magazines. And I like to put things together in order to be able to present something to teach it. Well, that's the gift of teaching. He that teacheth on teaching, that word is didasco, to literally impart truth to someone else. And you have a heart for that. Well, that's an important gift. Use it for God. If you've been given this gift, you have an obligation to use this in your local church. To teach the children, to teach the teenagers, or to teach the ladies or the men. Use this gift, but make sure you're qualified as you're using it. Make sure you're not contradicting what you are teaching with how you are living. Okay, so there's always the balance here that if someone could be super talented, they could have a gift, you know, one of these seven gifts, and they can be using to make oodles of money, and they can be just being blessed. But if they're not obeying God's word and following Him, coming, you know, faithfully to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, guess what? You'll start to do, that gift will diminish. It will start to diminish itself. Or you'll find the energy to do that gift will start to diminish. Why? Because we've got to use it for God first. We need to use our gifts and talents and abilities for God first, so that then He gives us the energy. You say, how do you know that? Because there in 1 Corinthians 12, let's turn over there briefly, as we look at the manifestations of the gifts, how they look. 1 Corinthians 12, there's an important truth here. 1 Corinthians 12, and 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us to just say, oh, this is, I know I have one, and that's all that matters. I just know I have one, you know. You know, I have no idea what it is, and I don't really care, you know. No, God says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He wants us to know what motivational gift He gave us so we can use it for His glory and honor. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. If you break down verse 4, 5, and 6, you'll see who gives the gift, the diverse gift, who chooses which one we have. That's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Who gives out the administration or the position to be able to use that gift? The same Lord. That's Jesus. Who gives out the diversities of operations? Or if you look, the Greek word behind operations is energeo. What does energeo sound like in English? Energeo. Anyone?
Energy.
Energy. Okay, who gives the energy to carry out your function of your gift and then your talents all through the week to make money? And even when you're retired, using those same talents to keep going in retirement. Who gives it? God the Father. The Father gives us the energy. It is the same God which worketh all in all. So don't spite God with your gift by not using it properly, or else He'll say, okay, you don't want to go to church? You don't want to read your Bible? You don't want to pray? You don't want to tell people about Jesus? Okay, well, I'm just going to lift the energy off of you so you can't do what you once did. I'm going to lift my hand of blessing upon you so you can't do what you once did. Or perhaps we're using it in the wrong way. You know, if a young person has the gift of prophecy and they're really good with their mouth and they love to speak and they're the first to stand up and be a leader, say, hey, let's do this. All of a sudden they start using that gift. A child using the gift of prophecy just said, say, hey, we don't have to listen to them. Let's do this instead. And be like the devil who used his gifts to lead people away from God. How sad that was, right? He had so much gift, and he led a third of the angels away from God. Well, that's just the same thing. Let's not use our gifts for the devil, or else watch out. God's going to start getting after you. He is going to just start diminishing you and taking it away. So let's not do that. Let's use it for God. Let's use it for the unity of the body, that there be no schism in the body. And let's use it for Him. Let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12 again. So coming back to our gifts, we've already learned prophecy like Peter, service like Martha and Mary, teaching like Luke. Luke, if you read the Gospel of Luke, he was such an organized teacher. He has everything chronologically ordered. He has everything stated succinctly. The teachings of Jesus, he lists them out and lists. You know, Luke is your typical teacher. He just loves to present in an organized way truth. And likes to warn and likes to help and likes to teach. Okay, so that's an important gift. Then the next gift, he that exhorteth on exhortation. Children, teens, you have one of these gifts, so pay attention. Now's not the time to play with your friends. Now's not the time to do other things. But pay attention, because you've got one of these seven. So we're trying to help you narrow down which one you have so you can best learn what the strengths are of it, but also the weaknesses. Okay? Because we all have weaknesses, too. When we're not in the Spirit, it's going to present itself in a very different way. And it's not going to be good. Okay, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That word exhort means to call out. To come alongside and to call out, hey, how you doing? And an exhorter loves to be around people. Why? Because God motivated their brain to wire that way. And they love to encourage people. They love to help people. They love to, hey, if someone is in sin, they like to rebuke them and say, hey, get back to serving God. You can do it. You've got this great potential. And so an exhorter is a great help in the church. Why? It helps keep everyone else motivated. An exhorter is like the cheerleader. You know, we all need cheerleaders. We all need someone behind us to say, and this can be a male or a lady, you know. We all need someone behind us to say, hey, let's do it for God. Let's do it. And they pump us up and they say, hey, you're such a great person. You know, wow, keep on going for God. Wow, you're so talented. Keep using your gift for God. You can do it. I know you can. That's an exhorter. We all need that in our lives. We need that in the church. We need why? They've got more energy than the rest of us. You know, you can wind. You don't have to wind them up. You know, they are already self-wound and they just keep on going. You know, like the Energizer Bunny. That's a great thing. We need that. We need to have someone encourage us. Why? It brings energy to the place. Okay, so if you have that gift, use it. Don't use the weaknesses of that gift. Don't be in the flesh and try to use that gift. Why? How's it come across? So instead of being, you know, pumping everybody up, they're draining the energy out of the place. Oh, woe is me. Oh, no, I don't have anything I can do to help anyone. You know, and they're draining the energy, spiritual energy away from everybody, and the devil's having a victory. Why? Because the exhorters aren't exhorting. Instead, they're me, myself, and I, and they're down in the dumps. Okay? So don't be down in the dumps. If you got the gift of exhortation, use it for God. Stay in the Spirit and be the cheerleader God wants you to be. Verse 8, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Some of you are gifted with giving. What are you guys passing back there? No passing anything. Okay? Pencil? Okay. If it's being used to write notes on the lesson, great. If it's not being used for that, put it away. Okay? Giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. By the way, who was an exhorter in the Bible? Who was always seeing the great potential that everyone had, even when no one else saw it, and was constantly encouraging people to do great service for God? Anyone? I wrote it down, but it's hard to see. Lydia? Peter? No, Peter had to get the prophecy. He was the speaker. Okay? Some of you have that. Some of you are the speaker. You like to talk. Okay? You don't mind being the first one to talk. That's the gift of prophecy. No, the encourager, the exhorter, is Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the son of exhortation. That's what his name is, literally. The son of encouragement in the Bible. Why? He saw Saul, when he just got saved. This guy that was persecuting every Christian, he saw him at his worst, and then he saw him get saved, and he said, hey, no, Paul is definitely changed. He's not the same guy anymore. We can trust him. He is going for God. I've seen him. He's the one I now recommend to you, disciples. Let him come, and he will work with us. Barnabas saw what no one else saw, because he was an exhorter. And so we all have our ways that we use our gifts. Someone who's a giver, they give their time, talents, energies to God and abilities. Tabitha, Lydia in the Bible, Tabitha, also named Dorcas, she when she died, everyone was really sad. Why were they all sad? Because this lady was the minister in the church who would give clothing to those who needed clothing. To help people, to help sew clothes for people that needed them, help give to needs that people that needed them. And she was always finding just the right thing for the right person to put in the right place. And she was very good at it. Why? Because she had the gift of giving. Okay? It doesn't mean that the giver always has to give money. No. It can be anything. Or the giver helps the church help to see, hey, let's give to the missionaries. Hey, let's give to them because it's a great investment because they're doing our job out across the foreign seas. Hey, let's give to the bus ministry because that's picking up people who normally wouldn't be in the seats, in the pews, and we're bringing them into church to help so that they can grow and be a part of the church. And then when they're older, guess what? They're going to be the next members of the church who are actively then helping others come to church. It's a great investment. You know, so givers help motivate the church to do what we should be doing and to see that, hey, giving is not, we're not losing anything by giving. Giving to God and giving to God's people, we're not losing anything. In fact, we're gaining. We're actually going to get more if we give to God. Givers are very good at business principles, math principles. They're good at they have self-discipline if they're in the Spirit, and they are very good with money. Okay, so the gift of giving is a great gift, and it finds its way to finances and to material possessions very easily because they're good with them. So use your gift if it's giving. Be a giver for God. Don't be a giver in the flesh, because if you're in the flesh, you'll be stingy. You'll say, I don't want to help anybody anymore. I got burnt too many times. You know what? We've got to learn to forgive and to let things go. We need to say, hey, you know what? This person burnt me, but that's not going to keep my joy of giving back. I'm just going to keep giving to God and give to other people because I know that God's just going to bring it right back to me. Okay, so that's what the person with giving, such as Tabitha, Lydia, was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. She went to Thyatira from her town there in Philippi. And she had a house that was large enough that anytime Paul was in the neighborhood with his missionary helpers, hey, Paul, come stay in my house. I've got a guest room for you. You can come and I will give you whatever you need. You know, she was a seller of purple. She was a business lady. She knew how to manage money and she was a giver. We need to use our gift, whatever it is. He that ruleth with diligence. Some of you are rulers. Some of you are managers. Some of you are administrators. You say, what is that gift? That's someone who's good at getting tasks done with people. You can see people and their different strengths and weaknesses and abilities, and you say, hey, can you do this? This is the perfect job for you. Hey, this person, put them over here because they're really good with this. Oh, this person, hey, can they help out over here because they like doing behind-the-scenes stuff and they're really good at this, you know? And so an administrator or a ruler is very good with putting the right people in the right places. And that can be any of these gifts can be men or ladies. Who in the Bible was really good administrator? Joseph. Remember when Pharaoh had the dream of 7 bad years and 7 years of good and plenty and 7 years of famine? Joseph said, hey, seek out someone who can manage all the grain in Egypt to keep everyone alive. And sure enough, Pharaoh said, well, can we find such an one as this is in whom the Spirit of the Lord is? The Spirit of God is in you, Joseph, and you just outlined the perfect plan for the next 14 years. Guess what? You just got the job. You know. So Joseph had that gift of administration, and he used it in such a wonderful way. He kept everyone alive. Why? Because he knew who to send where and what to do with all the things. That's a gift of administration. So these gifts are so important. If you or I say, no, I don't want to use my gift for God, guess what? That's going to stop up some type of ministry in this church. That's going to stop up some type of place in your home. Don't stop up the place in your home or the place in this church because you want to be lazy with your gift. Use your motivational gift, the spiritual gift that you got the moment you got saved. Use it for God. And then the last one, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The gift of mercy is showing love. Showing compassion to those that are perhaps not as compassionate. Or showing compassion to people who are down and out and hurting. And everyone else just kind of moves right along. Oh, so and so. Oh, that's all right, you know. Everyone else is moving right alongside. But the gift of mercy says, oh, so and so. Hey, child of God, you're discouraged today. Oh, let me pray with you. Hey, what's going on? And they're showing love to them. And they're showing, hey, this is what Christ died for you. He cares about you. Don't feel this way. You instead feel this way. Feel that God loves you. And they're very in tune with emotions. Very in tune with their own emotions. Very in tune with other people's emotions. That's the gift of mercy. It's a very important gift. Because sometimes we are callous and just self-centered. And so that gift of mercy helps people who are on the outskirts to come in. And helps people who are new in the church. You know, they just walk in for the first time. Well, the gift of mercy, use your gift to come on over and meet those new people and say, hey, you are welcome here. And they love you here. Hey, they love you and they love God here. You know, that's important use of the gift of mercy with cheerfulness. You know, the weaknesses of the gift of mercy is the person can get so emotional that they lose sight of the Word of God and the commands of it, and they start instead sinking down into the depths of sin that some are going, that they're trying to help bring up out. And if they're not in the Spirit, they'll sink down and start doing some of the things that the other people are doing. So that person with the gift of mercy has to stay up and stay encouraged and stay in the Word of God so that they stay faithful to helping people show mercy, but also realizing, hey, there's some people, you can show mercy to them until you're blue in the face, but they if they don't want to go God's way, they're not going to receive it. Okay, so at times the gift of mercy also tells when someone cannot be helped, if they don't want God in their life. Okay, so the gift of mercy helps us to understand those cases as well. Okay, so important, young people. What gift do you have? What gift do you have? Is who had the gift of mercy in the Bible? Anyone who loved to talk about love, walking in truth, walking in love one toward another, and greeting one another with love? Who was that? In the Bible. Yes, Evan.
Jesus.
Well, Jesus, yeah. Jesus was the best at all the gifts. Jesus had every one perfectly. He was the best speaker. He was the best server. He was the best teacher. He was the best exhorter. He was the best giver. He was the best ruler. And he was the best showing of mercy. He had compassion on them and wept over them in Jerusalem. So Jesus was the perfect demonstration of all seven. But you and I only have one. And so who is the one in the Bible who showed really well how to show mercy and speak the truth in love and do what we should be doing? That was John, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. He always talked and hear him speaking about love and how to love God with all our heart. Why? 1st John 4:8, God is love. So John helps us to see what love is. So you've got an incredible gift that's very motivational, that used in the right way, used with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit, used with Jesus showing you your place of service and being, you know, Jesus will give you a place of ministry in this church if you want it. Jesus has a place of ministry for you in this church. May have a title, may not, but it's going to be a place of ministry if you will just seek Jesus in that. And then God the Father will give you the energy to first use it for Him. That's why Sunday's on the first day of the week. Give God your gift the first day of the week. And guess what? You'll have it the rest of the week to make money. You'll have it the rest of the week to help people. You'll have it the rest of the week to be a blessing to your family. You'll have it the rest of the week in its proper energy. You'll have the energy to do it if we give it to God first. Okay, so let's make sure we are doing what we should be doing with our gift. If we are not in the Spirit, if we are in the flesh, our gift is going to come out all wrong, and it's going to mess up the works. So let's use it in the Spirit of God. Let's not be selfish with it. If you just use it to make money, and then don't use it to serve God, and start skipping out on services, start staying home as a teacher. Guess what? God's going to have to remove you until you get back to a place of service again. So everything comes to whom much has been given, much more shall be required, God says. Yeah. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You are very unique. You are very gifted. You are very skilled. You are very you have the great potential to do great things according to God as His child. But use it for Him. Don't just use it for yourself. Use it for God first. And you will find everything will work out well. Let us bow together in prayer. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I needed this message this morning. God spoke to me. I realize He's given me a great gift and a wonderful gift. And I realize I need to use it for His glory and honor. I want to put Him first in my life so that I can have everything in its proper order so that I can be blessed in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. You say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Young people. Amen. I see that hand. Young people, if God has spoken to you, you say, oh, I've been using my gift in the wrong way. I want to use it in the right way. I've been thinking I can't do anything, but I realize God's given me a great gift. Amen. Let's use it for God. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I want to use it for God. I want to dedicate my time to serving God first. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of the great potential all of us have to serve you here in this church and in our community and in our families. Lord, I pray you'd help us to operate in the energy of God in our life and in His Holy Spirit. You'd help us to be not weak with what we do, but be strong for you in what we do. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This time, we'll turn back to our hymn books as we close this service. Hymn number 145. Hymn number 145. God is the only one who can give us untapped energy and resources through the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is immeasurable, immense, and it keeps flowing, as Jesus said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water to quench thirsty souls. Would you come, if the Lord spoke to you, would you come as we sing this song?
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and dreary.
Would you come as we sing this song? Kneel at the altar. Pray for someone in your family. Pray for someone in your community. Pray for someone that God is speaking to you on how you can use your gift, your talent for God. Would you come?
Destination and the short period you're on.